The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. In God's reign, the rich will be sent away empty. Jesus uses a parable to warn against identifying the worth of one's life with the value of one's possessions, rather than one's relationship with God. I begin reading at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning starts out with somebody in the crowd came up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, tell my brother to help me divide the inheritance." And it sounds like a reasonable request. Two brothers can't quite agree on how the inheritance should be divided, and they need a mediator in between. But that's not exactly how it goes. One brother comes up to Jesus and he says, "Tell my brother to give me what is mine." In other words, he's not asking for a mediator. What he wants from Jesus is to be on his side and settle this issue once and for all. "I want what is mine. Give me what is mine." It comes down to, in our world today, we live in a world that says, "I want what is mine. Give me what is mine." And if we don't have our wants or our needs or our wishes or our desires filled exactly the way we want them, and immediately we get upset. If it's whether it's a person or whether it's an institution, we get upset if our needs are not matched exactly the way that we want our needs matched. If it's a business, we say, "I'm never going to do business with them again." If it's a restaurant and we don't like the service, we'll say, "I'll never eat here again." If it is your spouse, you get a divorce. If it's your church, you say, "I'm never coming back to that place again." We want our wants filled, and we want them fulfilled now. And we don't want to do anything else with anybody else that doesn't fulfill our needs that we want. In response to this person asking for Jesus to fulfill his wants, he tells this parable. Parable about a well-to-do, a very successful businessman. The land has produced abundantly, and once again, he has a bumper crop, and he has the problem of, where do I put all this stuff? How do I fulfill all these things? How do I fill up my barns? My barns are full already. And he comes up with the idea that he's going to tear down his old barns and build new ones, and he can relax, and he can eat, he can drink, and he can be merry. His life is set for him. We have a tendency to want to build bigger barns too. I know if you go into your home, I know it's true in ours, if you go into your home and open up a closet, it's full. You go out to the garage, that's full. If you have a shed and you go in there, that too is full. And the problem is that we still want more. We always are wanting more. We're never satisfied. There's always something else that we want, or we think that we need, or that we have desires for, or that we have wishes for. There's always something else. In this parable, one of the things that jumped out at me was that this man, that wealthy man, talks to himself. Now, it's kind of funny, but I'll have to admit, sometimes I do that too. It helps me think about what I might want to say or do or something. But it's different here in this parable. There seems that there is nobody else that wants to be around this wealthy man, the successful man. It seems that his only counsel is himself. He doesn't trust anybody else. There is no wife. There is no children. There are no parents. There's no other family members. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't consult with his manager. The only person that he trusts is himself. And so what that says is that sometimes wealth can be isolating. Wealth can cause more troubles than just scraping by can. Because you get to the point where you think, I need to protect it. That's my life. My things are my life. My possessions are my life. I read a study about people who had won the lottery, the big lotteries. And they interviewed a number of people, and it turned out that 8 out of 10 people who had won the lottery said that their life was actually better off before they won that lottery. After they had won the lottery, they had to figure out what they're going to do with that money. How are they going to spend it? How do they save it? How do they pay all those taxes, which they hated to do? How do they invest it? And then there were always people hanging around them wanting a piece of it, whether it was friends or family or even strangers, always wanting something from them. And they said their life was better before they won that lottery. In this parable, God calls the man a fool. He says, "You fool." Because he is isolated. All these things that are his, he's just simply going to store them up. He's going to save them. He's going to enjoy them himself rather than sharing it with other people, of bringing a community together. He's going to have it for himself. And God calls him a fool because that night he's going to die. And it's all going to go to somebody else anyway. He's not going to enjoy it. It's treasures here on this earth. And he'll no longer be here on this earth. Somebody else will have it. God calls him a fool. In Greek, there's actually at least 4 different words that can be translated as fool. One of those words is mindless. Can be translated as mindless. In other words, an airhead, somebody who just doesn't have any common sense or doesn't think for themselves or can't do for themselves. Another word for fool in Greek that can be translated as basically without knowledge, or in other words, ignorant. Somebody who does have smarts or who has brains, but they just don't have the knowledge. They don't have the information that's needed. They don't have the wisdom that's needed. Another word in Greek that can be translated as fool is, we can translate as moron. Somebody who has the sharpness, somebody who should have the knowledge, but somebody who is constantly making the wrong decisions. And the word that's used today in this gospel lesson for fool is one that means without a mind, or it can also be translated as someone without a spirit. This man had no spirit. All he thought of was himself. Everything that he had accumulated in life was going to go for his own enjoyment. And he had lost his spirit somewhere along in that process. There's another interesting phrase here in this gospel lesson, or in this parable that Jesus used as he told that parable, is that rather than just saying that man died tonight, he says that your life will be demanded of you. And it brings about another point then too, as we look at this parable, is that our lives actually belong to God. And God can take our lives anytime that he wants to take them. Our lives belong to God, whether we are living or whether it's time for us to die. Our lives belong to God, whether we believe in God or whether we don't believe in God. God created all things. He created us. He created every person who is here. And we are created in his own image, which means that we do have, that God is with us, that God is present with us, with all people, whether or not we believe in God, whether or not we are healthy, or whether we are on our deathbeds. God is still with us. Our lives belong to God. And that also means that all of our possessions, all of our talents, even our time belongs to God. We are simply here as managers or caretakers of our own lives and of our possessions. How do we look at our things that we have? How do we look at those things that we say is mine? It's mine. It belongs to me. But truly, surely not. It belongs to God. At the end of this parable today, Jesus gives us a solution as we look at this problem of what is mine? And that is, he says, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Jesus calls us to be rich towards God, and that means looking at ourselves, looking at the things that we claim as mine, as not actually belonging to us, but simply that we are directing our lives towards God. That we have God in the forefront of our minds and in our hearts. And that is who we are looking to. And so that means looking at each other and looking at strangers as those who have been created in the image of God. And to build up treasures for the community. Of sharing those things that God has blessed us with. Sharing our time with others who need some help. Sharing our talents to benefit the whole community. And also sharing our possessions to help bring out the kingdom of God. God calls us to live life abundantly and to store up treasures with God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.